My friends, as Jesus was making his way into the Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was ushering in a new way of being, challenging the empire, not only the physical empire, but the ways in which empire seeps into our ways of life. Even now, today, we are invited to remember our belovedness in God, to confess and let go of the cloaks of empire that cover us.
That's the Reverend Canon Runjit K. Matthews, and today he shares a powerful message for Palm Sunday called Embodying the Realm of God. I'm Dalton Rushing. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host to introduce today's speaker.
I'm your guest host, Dalton Rushing. And today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Canon Runjit K. Matthews, canon to the Ordinary in the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, based in Meriden. Runjit is a graduate of the George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and earned his MDiv from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. He served churches in Massachusetts and California, as well as in the Episcopal Church Center in New York as Partnership Officer for Africa, before being called as Rector of St. James Episcopal Church in New London, Connecticut. He joined the staff at the Episcopal Church in Connecticut in September 2021 as Canon for Mission Advocacy, Racial Justice, and Reconciliation. And along the way, Runjit and his spouse Joanna served for 17 months as missionaries in Tanzania. Runjit, welcome to Day One.
Thank you.
You've served on the staff in Connecticut for about 2.5 years now, and last October became the canon to the ordinary. For us non-Episcopalians, what does that title mean? What are your responsibilities in that role?
Thanks, Dalton. So people often say, like, they only know the words to and the in that phrase. And so ordinary means the bishop.
Mm.
So that is, I'm canon to the bishop. And canon means, it could mean on a cathedral staff, serving as a canon on cathedral staff.
Mm.
And it could also mean it's a position as it relates to the bishop.
Mm.
So directly connected to the bishop on a bishop's staff. So the two particular roles. Now, what I do is three particular things. When people call in to the church and they call in to me, I sort of direct where it goes, sort of trying to find clarity around our 30-member staff.
Mm-hmm.
So then if it has something to do with alienations and encumbrances, sort of around solar panels, it would go to our finance team. Or if it has something to do with our racial justice work, it goes to our canon for mission advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one portion. Second portion is to serve as chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
So guiding it on an administrative level, our staff to fulfill their work and to offer, you know, so often, maybe conflict mediation sometimes, things like that. And then thirdly is to serve as a counselor and advisor to the bishop and to be his proxy in different places where he would need to go, but he can't. Yeah.
Well, introduce us to the diocese, its people, its parishes, and what it's up to in these challenging times.
Yeah, there are now 153 parishes or churches of the Episcopal Church of Connecticut. Parishes, intentional Episcopal communities, worshiping communities. And now we're living into a space where we're learning to move with a new bishop diocesan. Bishop Mello has been with us now about 14 months. So that's a move. And our prior bishop diocesan had been there 12 years.
Wow.
So he has done, you know, over the past 13, 14 months, has done a lot of listening. And so right now we're in the midst of what we call, what he has called, a reorganization and realignment. Paying attention on all his visitations, which has been every Sunday.
Wow.
And over the past 14 months and all the other meetings that he has had, and paying attention to the staff at what we call the commons, where we work, to help our parishes and help our common staff meet our parishes where they are. So now we're in the movement of organizing our staff to meet those needs that he has heard over these months. And Dalton, he is one of the most important parts of his episcopacy so far is not to say, you know, to St. Swithin's in Groton that you need to be over here. No. One of the biggest parts of his vision is to meet our parishes where they are and say, how can we show up alongside and accompany you to be who you need to be as God's people in that particular area of Connecticut? So what are the things that we can provide and support you with? That's the hope.
Runjit, before you became canon to the ordinary, you were the canon for mission advocacy, racial justice, and reconciliation. And you brought to that position a wide range of experience as a priest, a public speaker and contextual theologian, a community organizer, multicultural specialist, and a bridge builder, which are all essential aspects of that work. So give us a sense of what that work for the Episcopal Church in Connecticut involved for you.
There are two essential things that I want to share. And one is, in that particular role, it was about confronting white supremacy culture in Connecticut. And when I say that, I say it is about how we untether to the ways in which, you know, we might center whiteness in our day-to-day lives. And that means issues of grind culture, how we're grinding, you know, our lives to meet the needs of the market. Purity culture, which particularly in Connecticut, you know, the Puritans came from New England, right? So what is perfection, Dalton? So many of the ways in which we might connect with people on a day-to-day level is, oh, that's perfect, right? And yet perfection is a mathematical equation, right? It has nothing to do with our humanity. So how do we invite a space and a culture within Connecticut that says, let's aim towards excellence and we can let go of perfection, which is a tenet of white supremacy culture. So my hope over those 2 years is to help all of our parishes untether or unravel from that perfection and lead us into sort of grace towards one another. So that was a big part of that role in doing that. And also it is to say that, you know, we had 153 parishes. So not all were in the same place in terms of their journey around whether it's racial identity work, being stewards of the environment, you know. And so my hope is that we would, you know, maybe there's one parish in Hartford that is really just feeling a faithful call towards reparations. And yet maybe on the other side of Connecticut, they haven't yet moved through the nuances of what white supremacy culture is, and yet don't even have the language for that. So how do we hold everybody together to sort of realize that, you know, everybody's on different journeys? So how do we pay attention, again, to the reality of meeting our parishes where they are, not where we want them to be?
Runjit, today the church celebrates Palm Sunday, the end of our journey through Lent and the beginning of Holy Week. And your sermon today is based on Mark's account in chapter 11. Would you read it for us?
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, in the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road, and others spread leafy branches that they'd cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12."
Well, Runjit, we look forward to hearing your message on this text. It's called Embodying the Realm of God. Thanks for sharing it with us.
You're so welcome, Dalton. Thank you.
If you'd like to listen again to today's program with Canon Ranjit Matthews with an extended interview, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app to Day One Weekly Program, or you can stream or download it on our website at dayone.org. And if you'd like a free printed sermon transcript, just call us at 404-815-9110.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Palm Sunday, this most historic and iconic of days on our Christian calendar. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Whereas on the other side, we see Pontius Pilate coming in all of his regalia. The pomp and circumstance of it all. The contrast of the Roman Empire and the realm of God makes me ponder how different many of our traditions are with respect to regalia and vestments and what we wear on a Sunday morning, ironically looking more regal than Jesus. And yet, if I were to meet Jesus in Jerusalem in that most holy of weeks, and if I were Pilate, or a member of the privileged class here in my denomination of the Episcopal Church, I wonder what I would need to let go of. I think of how ensconced I am within the principalities of my own country and world, how I worship them in my existence, as opposed to the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus, of humility, coming in again on a donkey. The principalities of supremacy culture, patriarchy, purity culture, capitalism, white supremacy, which more often than not rule me as opposed to the gospel. It would bring me to a place of ultimate humility. As I make my way through Holy Week, how can we let go of these principalities and allow ourselves to unravel? They remind me of forms of confession, which should be made more real during Holy Week. The aspects of supremacy culture, which steal us away from humility, because they demand that we worship them. And what do we think of when we think of a donkey? We think of an animal that is often castigated and relegated to laughter. What would it take us as people of faith, as Christians, to carry that same humility of emulating the way of Jesus? I remember when my spouse, Joanna, and I were serving as mission volunteers in Dodoma, Tanzania, from the Episcopal Church. We loved our experience there, serving around 17 months. We taught at a place called M. Salado Theological College. One of the many gifts was that students were taught by an ecumenical staff. So we had folks, volunteers, missionaries from New Zealand, United States of America, South Korea, England, Tanzania, Kenya, and other countries. We usually had staff meeting on Tuesdays, and I vividly remember one particular moment of this staff meeting. Our financial administrator, Mr. Yusuf Mukunda, had just made a presentation on the finances of the college. And one of our staff members offered a critique that I think would have made Yusuf feel bad or taken aback. And yet I will never forget his response. He said, "Thank you for pointing that out to me. You're right. I will make a correction and I will be better next time." It was a level of humility and grace that I hadn't seen before, and in public. I wonder what I would have done should I have been in the very same position. It reminded me of Jesus, the posture of Jesus, how Jesus would be out in the world. So often I find myself with a protective armor, ready to protect myself from life. And yet here we see in Yusuf Mukunda something of Jesus, of that openness and humility. This is what Jesus was doing when he decided to ride that donkey into the city of Jerusalem, show his vulnerable, humble side to the broader world. He was showing Jerusalem, he was showing Pontius Pilate and the Roman Empire, the broader world, that real power is not about the principalities and powers of the world, or showing or demonstrating yourself as a strong, strong person, so often as the world sees strength. But it is about something different. A posture of humility and openness. I wonder also, you know, as Episcopalians in the broader world or people who navigate our denominations as Christians, I wonder about our titles. The Most Reverend, the Right Reverend, Canon. Didn't Jesus talk about these things? It doesn't mean that we don't live in a world that we don't understand the realization of power differentials. But how can we work where these long titles don't become impediments to following Jesus? Listen, I was born and bred in Massachusetts, and now live in Connecticut. I know of the stiff upper lip that I have been socialized into as a man, the patriarchal norms of purity culture, which would have men not show any type of emotion, sort of bury it deep down and pretend that things don't hurt me or us. And yet the reality is that this type of socialization has demeaned boys and men, created us to be less than whom God has called us to be, and not allow us to live into the fullness of our wholeness. This too is the very opposite of the way of Jesus that we see on Palm Sunday. As God incarnate, Jesus also came as an open person, showing the way of love and power that was connected to it. In coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the realm of God is breaking into the world, challenging the Roman Empire. It is what the Anglican theologian C.H. Dodd says in what he calls realized eschatology. The realm of God breaking into the world, confronting the ways of the Roman Empire. And maybe, friends, of our American Empire. For us, as we reenact Palm Sunday, as we allow our whole selves to be caught up in this way of life, the way of Jesus confronts our own lives, our own way of being. Maybe it's rapacious, capitalistic ways, the grind culture, supremacy culture, and says there is another way, a way of God's love incarnate, of vulnerability and openness, of flourishing and grace. My friends, we have the space and time during Holy Week to reflect, to confess our sins, the sins that maybe we have been socialized to believe in, sins of the empire. On this Palm Sunday, I wonder about the opportunity we have to confess the fact that in a deep way, maybe somatically, maybe through the structures of empire, we are complicit in worshiping the machinations of empire rather than living from the sacrament of our baptism, following the vulnerable, truth-telling ways of Jesus of Nazareth. Confession, letting go, untethering from the ways of empire are the ways in which we walk into salvation through Jesus Christ. But it also means that we have to be intentional with how we live, and yes, the reflective time that we have every day. More often than not, after lunch, around 2 or 2:30 p.m., I begin to get a little sleepy. It's of course that period where my food has settled into my body, and my body is telling me that I need to rest for a little bit of time. The truth of the matter is that while my body's telling me what it needs, I am more tethered to me being productive and getting the most work out of my body. The need to be productive invites me to disregard my body and push on. This may seem silly, but it is not. It is, in fact, what we call grind culture. For too long, in fact, starting with the Puritans, we have cut off our bodies from our minds. As a broader American culture, we tend to place so much emphasis on our minds, on the intellect, and in the meantime, we have castigated the body, using scripture to demean it and cut it off from the rest of our minds. We know from the great Canadian physician Gabor Maté that we cannot possibly do that, that our bodies and minds are intertwined. Friends, let me confess. My body and mind are caught up in grind culture, with a false narrative that my worth is connected to my production, that if I grind enough in my work, my worth will be recognized. I know this. I confess it. And it flies in the face of our theology, of our embodiment, of being made in the image of the divine, of grace, of being God's beloved. These two are principalities that the Apostle Paul speaks about in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For neither death nor principalities shall ever separate me from the love of God. My friends, as Jesus was making his way into the Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was ushering in a new way of being, challenging the empire, not only the physical empire, but the ways in which empire seeps into our ways of life. Even now, today, we are invited to remember our belovedness in God, confess and let go of the cloaks of empire that cover us, and again turn our posture out of our bodies, minds, and souls to the way of Jesus of Nazareth. This is the good news that we have been given. This week, this Holy Week, is our chance to once again get swept up in the beauty and grace of Jesus. One of the many things that I love about my tradition in the Episcopal Church is the chance every Sunday to participate liturgically in confession, a chance publicly to confess and share where I have fallen short. And then thanks be to God that I receive God's absolution to then try again. This Holy Week, may we see how Jesus moved, how he challenged empire with his whole embodiment. May we confess the ways in which we are still tethered to principalities and powers. And with reflection, try to intentionally turn away from them and turn towards the way of God in Jesus of Nazareth. Let us put our faith that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Canon Ranjit K. Matthews, canon to the ordinary in the Episcopal Diocese of Connecticut, based in Darien. For a free transcript of his sermon for Palm Sunday, Embodying the Realm of God, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305. Keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. Please send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30305, or donate online at dayone.org. From all of us here at Day One, we're grateful for your support. Next week for Easter Sunday, our program will be a rebroadcast from 2021 with Reverend Merrick P. Zabrinsky, rector of Christ Church Episcopal in Greenwich, Connecticut, and longtime Day One host and Alliance for Christian Media President Emeritus, the Reverend Peter Wallace. Join Peter and Reverend Zabrinsky for a conversation and an Easter message of hope titled, God Says Nevertheless. That's next time on Day One.
Now, our Day One preacher, Ranjit Matthews, offers some final reflections on his Palm Sunday sermon, Embodying the Realm of God. And Ranjit, thanks for challenging us as we begin this most holy of weeks. You contrasted Jesus riding into the city on a donkey with the regal and powerful Pontius Pilate representing the Roman Empire. You said that makes you think about how ensconced you are, and we all are, within the principalities of our country and world, the principalities of supremacy culture, patriarchy, purity culture, which more often rule us rather than the gospel that Jesus embodies. You asked, what would it take for us, people of faith, as Christians, to carry that same humility, emulating the way of Jesus in this culture? And it seems to me we have so few models of authentic humility in our world today. So I want to know, how do we learn to be humble as Jesus was in a world that seems to be the opposite?
You know, so much of how I want to answer that, Dalton, is honestly with reflection. Mm. And when I say reflection, it's really spending time with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the places where we are the most wounded, you know, and even examining our own shadows. Mm. And I think allowing that, if we're able to do that, to more integrate into who we are, mm-hmm. right? And letting go of perfection in myself, mm-hmm. but holding on to faithfulness. Mm. And I struggle with that. But I feel that is the invitation to show up. And they show up in my messiness in that. Mm. Not to say that I project that messiness onto people, but my hope is that by being who I am, that would offer grace to other people in Jesus and allow them to show up, God willing, in their own vulnerability. Mm. But it's firstly, I think, through vulnerability. Mm. And so often, Dalton, whenever I share some of my vulnerability, which is sometimes, it somebody else lets me in also, you know, because they're really, okay, you're safe. Mm-hmm. But I cannot do that unless I have done that work with myself. And that's something that's constant. Mm. But how can I recognize, how can I work with my own shadow? Which for me on a practical level means working with a therapist, you know, working with a spiritual director, but creating space where I look at my own trauma. Mm. Or I look at my own stuff that I'm bringing along, whether culturally or religiously, and say that, you know, this is where I'm wounded. Mm-hmm. And how do I allow God's grace to touch that? But to allow that space then to be, allow me to be a wounded healer out in the world with the sense of humility about what I can really offer. That's how I would lean into that work, by embodying it.
Ranjit, what's one thing from your sermon today you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
My hope is that we would recognize and see in Jesus a model of being, a model of vulnerability, a model of embodiment, a model of humility, a posture of love. But that wasn't sort of a soft, easy love, but it was a graceful love that called out the principalities in the broader world, right? And recognize that that as individuals, we're also imperfect people, right? So if we hold ourselves to a posture of imperfection within the grace of Jesus, we can hold on to that and still at the same time call out places and spaces in our broader world and country where we are falling short of that. Not pretending that we have it all together, but knowing that we have the call of the gospel that is placed on our hearts. So that is my hope, and how we see that in Jesus, living fully into that in his movement into Jerusalem.
Well, Canon Ranjit Matthews, thanks again for being with us.
You're so welcome, Dalton. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Day One is the voice of America's historic Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings. on day one and forever.